Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trend Talk Radio, where we are talking about everything social media, digital marketing, anything you can do online to get your business out there and sell to your customers. I'm Caitlin, and I will be introducing Annette to you in a minute. If you have not tuned in with us before, you can check out our website at www.trendtalkradio.com. We have a bunch of shows up there for you. We're talking about LinkedIn marketing and Facebook marketing and editorial calendars. Anything on there that'll get you started in the digital world, it's definitely something to check out. We are also on Twitter and Facebook. So if you want to go ahead and give us a follow on Twitter, our Twitter handle is at Trend Talk Radio. And the same with Facebook, facebook.com/Trend Talk Radio. So without further ado, Annette, you want to give a little intro to yourself?
Absolutely. Hi, guys. It's Annette here. Today, we are discussing selling on social media. This is a topic that, you know, has to be done pretty well if you want to be successful at it. So today, we're going to be talking about some tips and tricks, figuring out who's a good prospect for you to sell to, doing your research, and really executing a good sales pitch to someone online. So today, we have someone who you guys might recognize from a previous episode. His name is Daniel Pacheco, and he is here to talk to us about selling on social media. Hi, Dan.
Hello, ladies. Thank you very much for having me. Feels good to be back on air.
We are so happy to have you. So tell us a little bit about how you wanna sell on social media. How do you start off doing this?
It's a great question. As always, you have plenty of those. Selling on social media, it really depends on the channel, of course, you know, where you're at with it. Generally speaking, there are two major sides to this. Yes, there's the actual art of selling and branding on social media, but there's also the flip side to it when you're researching the people you're trying to sell to, either on or off social media. It's everything is so accessible these days, especially everybody's personal information or what they share online. You should know who you're talking to, what their interests are, where they've been before you even pick up that phone or put fingers on that keypad to contact them. So do your homework, essentially.
Okay, so how do you go about finding someone on social media? What if they don't have a lot of social profiles or they only have one? How do you use it to your advantage if they don't have a lot of information available online?
That's another good question. You'll probably hear me say that maybe one or two more times to you, as long as those questions keep coming. But that is something that you see quite frequently, people that, you know, really have almost a zero digital thumbprint out there. So say, for instance, they have a LinkedIn or a Facebook profile. Again, bare bones is what they have. Mm-hmm. You know, you could just simply go back to the old school days of the, cold calls and let those cold calls be truly frigid cold calls. But hopefully, again, if you're in the sales position, you have the ability to heat up that water real quick with some bubbles there.
Yeah.
Or you can be a little creative. If they have a profile photo, you can look for context clues, see if there's maybe an alma mater pennant or something in the background. If they went to a college, if they're out, on a trail or something, maybe they're a runner. So anything there, there's always information. Nothing's ever in vain or wasted unless you let it be. So even if they have the slightest little bit out there, I'm pretty sure you can figure out how to use something.
Sounds good. And so, okay, so your step one is research your customer.
Exactly.
All right. So after that, like Annette said, if they don't have a lot of social profiles out there, do you suggest looking for maybe somebody that's similar to that customer? Like, do you?
Possibly. Again, it depends on the prospect themselves. If it's a company that you want to sell to, mm-hmm. instead of just the individual, there should be maybe two or three decision makers, if not more, at mm-hmm. Most firms or wherever you're trying to get into. So yeah, you can go another route and see if there's somebody, another C-O that's of parallel power to them, and try to approach it from that way. Somebody should have some information within a company. If it's, more so just the absolute individual, then again, just try to, again, look for those context clues and see what you can do to figure out to that person.
Perfect. So after you find your customer, what's next?
Well, of course, it depends on where you're selling from or what you're selling. Going back though to keeping it purely social media, a lot of people tend to look at sales as kind of like an impersonal, robotic, black, white, kind of frigid, cold, boring kind of approach, right? Sales, a successful sale is basically the continuation of the art of storytelling, the ancient art of storytelling. It's about producing that emotional connection there and really selling yourself first and that trust, bringing that romance into it, and then going in for the, quote, kill, so to speak.
Gotcha. So when you're, okay, I know you've done a lot of selling offline and online. So briefly, can you tell us what are the biggest differences between doing it offline and online? And what's something that, you know, because you're not seeing the person face to face online, especially for that first meeting. So how does that differ?
So there's basically three components to selling, or actually, let me digress. I've sold in three different ways. I've sold for companies online. I've sold for individuals online. And then lastly, I've sold for myself online. I used to have a company of my own. And each one of those, again, is identifying the brand first and keeping that brand voice present the entire time, right? Mm-hmm. Keep it all about branding there. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But to have some fun with it is thinking of it as spirit animals, okay? I'm always about like the fringe weird stuff. I'm a weird guy. So I like to talk about that, okay? So in my mind, there are three spirit animals that are, you know, used in just general selling on or offline. That's going to be the wolf, the chameleon, and the anglerfish. Okay, have you all seen an anglerfish before?
No. Of course. I go fishing.
Okay, So Caitlin's very familiar with anglerfish, I guess. All right, excellent. So the chameleon is the one that really identifies with social media. Now, let me qualify that, of course, right?
Okay.
So a chameleon has the ability to adapt, to change its color, to blend in, you know, assimilate wherever it's at.
Right.
And with a social media campaign, that really allows you to have, again, a tailored voice with the type of crowd or demographic you're trying to get into. So, for instance, if there's a product, we'll use the ominous Coca-Cola out there. I'm sorry if there's any copyright infringement there, ladies. You can deal with that on the back end. But anyway,
Thanks, Dan.
Polar bears and music festivals have nothing to do with each other. However, they sell the same thing very, very successfully, right? So it's figuring out how to, again, kind of change the color of your scales there to attract and break into that demographic that you're trying to get into. So basically the chameleon approach is a kind of a pre-calculated, already put together way to get into a certain demographic. So basically one and done kind of deal, right? So one photo, one video should be able to do the trick and get the message across there too.
Right. So I feel like the chameleon animal also, if you had two different demographic, like two different ages, then you could do two different... Could you do two different ads, like one for this age group, yes, and one for the other age group?
Absolutely.
That's what you mean with...
I'm very happy you bring that, okay, up. So let me clarify that. So I've sold products before that, when I'm actually speaking to people in person or over the phone, they're saying, oh, well, I thought that this wasn't really for me because of XYZ factor kind of deal, whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, in my mind, what I'm selling is for everybody, all the masses. This is, everybody should have this in their hand, right, kind of thing. So the way that I approach that is before I even know that the person exists, before they even know that I exist, it's the product that I'm trying to highlight. And that's going to be by maybe three or four different pillars. So we're going to go maybe, a luxury route, right? Whatever product I'm selling is going to make their life easier. It's going to make it, effortless. It's going to make it, thoughtless for them. So they don't have to worry about what this product can already go ahead and do for them. So that's the luxury side. There could be the comical fun side, appealing to a completely different demographic. Jokes, there's color, over-exaggeration, hyperbole is all over the place kind of deal, whatever it may be. And you kind of see what I'm saying there. Mm-hmm. So it's still the same product that I understand has all these different facets and values to it and different dimensions to it. But somebody just kind of picking it up, or scrolling through their feed or whatever and seeing it, that campaign that's present may not speak to them. So if you're able to have maybe three or four pillars, and I wouldn't really suggest doing more than that because then it gets kind of confused and, convoluted there. Having maybe three or four pillars for your marketing campaign to stand on, that will dissolve the preconceived barriers that your potential demographic and prospects may have, incorrectly picked up on.
Right.
And that turns those frigid calls or, connections into very warm, cuddly, and comfortable, conversations in the future.
Right. And that all goes back to step number one of researching who your target audience is.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
All right, let's move on to the next animal.
Okay, the wolf. Now, this is my personal favorite. For those of you that don't know, my Twitter handle is TheWolfDan. I've got a wolf tattoo. I've even been licked in the mouth by an actual wolf. It can go on. Oh, it's true. Like I said, I'm a weird guy. Whatever. So anyway, the wolf is more of a strategy. All right. So people think of the wolf as a hunter, an observer. And when acting alone, sure, that's what, that's what a wolf is essentially. But You've heard the phrase, you can't mess with a wolf without messing with a pack kind of deal, right?
Right.
So this is where the strategy comes into play. So this is a real thing. This is a real strategy that actual wolves will implement when they're hunting down their actual prey. Mm-hmm. So imagine what these wolves are going after. They're not going after smaller animals. They're typically going after, buffalo, bison, whatever it is. Now, a wolf versus a bison, that bison can probably just obliterate that lone wolf. So kind of thinking of it in our context here, a lone post could just be washed away and obliterated if there's nothing else to back it up, kind of thing. So right. Enter the wolf pack now, all right? So when a wolf pack is hungry, they're going to strategize. They're going to think ahead in the future, essentially. So they're going to figure out where the biggest population of, you know, say, for instance, bison are, all right? That's their target area. That's their geography there. Now, one or two wolves will stay back while the rest of the pack will go way ahead, all right? But again, we'll get to those in a little bit. So those first two wolves will stay back, and they'll kind of push the herd a little bit. You know, they're not really aggressive yet, but their presence is now known, all right? So those bison are picking up that the wolves are there, and they start to move a little bit, but not with you know, great intensity yet, because there's no real factor there. Mm-hmm. Now, those wolves will start picking up the speed, getting more momentum. So again, that could be engagement and more likes and stuff on social media. So picking up that momentum there. When it's time to make the kill, those wolves will split the pack. Those bison will start to scatter. One of those wolves will go out and actually do a kind of a soft attack on one of those bison. And so it's going to, you know, injure them, but not take them down yet. And then they kind of step off a little bit. They give them their space, and they continue to push them and push them and push them. Right. Well, after maybe a mile or so, that bison is tired out. You know, forgive me for being graphic. It's kind of, you know, bled out a little bit. But right then and there, those wolves, the rest of the pack, was waiting silently in the future, or right, you know, in the plains ahead of that pack. So it's a strategic movement of engagement and interaction, and again, planning on when to post, when to strike, essentially, and then knowing how to steer that audience. You know, people don't like to be sold to, right? They like to think that it's their decision, that they said, yeah, today I'm waking up and I'm treating myself to whatever the heck this is that this person's buying, right? The art of selling, though, is allowing that consumer to have that feeling that it was their decision. Because, I mean, obviously it is a decision to make the move and to buy what you're selling. But going with that strategy, knowing when to engage, how to post, to get that there. So long story short, my tongue is very tired now. A wolf strategy for social media selling is basically, you know, having a storyboard, 3, 4, 5, you know, maybe a month-long campaign. Right. That maybe seemingly unattached. It's, you know, engaging somewhat in itself. But stepping back the whole picture, you know, at the end of the month, it was a really well-conceived, really cohesive campaign that, you know, you guys spent a lot of time in and yielded a big result for you and your pack.
Right. So it seems like the chameleon is more of the research aspect, and then the wolf is the strategy.
Essentially, I guess you could say that. Yeah.
Aggressive.
Sounds good to me. Sounds
yeah.
Good to me.
Very aggressive.
But both, again, very calculated.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we have the anglerfish.
Anglerfish, yes, that Caitlin's very familiar with, apparently, because yes. She's a, you know, a woman of the seas, I guess.
I am. So, I'm a mermaid, basically.
So the anglerfish, for those of you that aren't weirdos like Caitlin and I, or marine biologists, I guess, whatever you want.
So
whatever,
I'm the only non-weirdo here. Good to know.
So an anglerfish is a, you know, they're in the depths of the ocean. They're where it's dark. Mm-hmm. And they basically have this little light or something that's attracting that flickers right before their big old stinky, you know, teeth and jaws there, that these other little fish will come up and like, oh, what is that? What is that?
Think, ooh, of Finding cool. Nemo.
Exactly.
You remember that little fish with the light at the end of his?
Yeah.
That's an anglerfish. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So to put it into this context, and if you're not kind of picking up on the connotation here, it's not the most prestigious or really, in my opinion, the best way to go about things is kind of dangling discounts, sales, not promotions, because promotions are a good thing, but continuously discounting, trying to attract people that way.
Right.
It doesn't really do much because it discounts your brand. You kind of become the cheaper, you know, person in the market kind of deal there. So yes, while it is a strategy, basically you don't want to see, you know, 75% off, you know, here comes springtime, 35% off all the time on social media.
It sounds like right. The clickbait, you know, those,
exactly.
Yeah, those articles on Facebook where, oh, look what she did to her husband at the altar, and then you click on it.
Exactly. Or, you know, yes. Like what this, you know, Wisconsin teenager did, you won't believe. It'll blow your mind. Like all those things. Yeah, exactly.
Those are on Twitter too, really bad.
They're all over the place.
But those specifically, I won't click on because
right.
I know they're clickbait.
Right.
They're awful.
So yeah, clickbait and then also continual, you know, discounts. That all ties in together with that anglerfish approach.
Right. So out of all of those approaches, what is your favorite approach?
So basically, of course, duh, I'm a wolf, but I'm a wolf that can walk on walls and change the color of his fur, okay? So largely, I believe in the big picture, you know, the calculation, the risk-reward approach, strategy of the wolf, but I also believe, again, in being able to tailor your approach just like the chameleon does.
Right. It seems like you are more of a chameleon, actually, since you, you know, you say you can adapt to anything. So wouldn't that make you a chameleon?
Like I said, I'm a wolf. That's has
he just
like
really
the
wants
DNA
to be a wolf,
and
let him be a wolf. Let him live.
I'm a hybrid, Annette. Okay.
Dan, so you were telling us earlier about your brand voice. So how does someone find their brand voice, and how do you really pitch a sale on social media?
I don't know. Ask the next guy. No, <I'm> just... All right. So pitching a sale on social media.
Like, give us some examples.
Yeah.
Give a hypothetical example.
Of pitching a sale on social media.
Yep.
Okay.
And tell us what social platform you're using in
okay.
your example.
Let's switch it up to Instagram right now. Okay. Now, that's a very, very, you know, popular site that's growing and growing by the day.
Right.
They're rolling out all these new features on it. They have a commerce feature now that they're implementing, which you can actually buy off of a photograph, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about them for a little bit. So the evolution of how we as a living being consume things, it was started out by cave paintings. Then it went to scrolls. Then it went to, door to door, then phone calls and texts. Now we communicate solely by pictures.
Brainwaves.
Right? Highly. That's Google's next deal. Google Brainwave. So we're a highly visual consumer, essentially, right?
Right.
We don't want to read. We barely want to listen. We just want to see. And it needs to be quick, you know, fast and in a hurry kind of thing.
Right.
So with that, it's basically, implementing, I don't know, how can I say this? I have a million thoughts in my mind right now. Having say, for instance, we're selling an actual product, okay? That's very easy. You have that product, great photograph, you know, make it all Instagram, put filters on it, whatever. Do the hashtag research. And that's a big deal there too, doing hashtag research, doing the correct engagement. Because on something like Instagram, you don't have a lot of room for like content or copy.
Yep.
So it resides all in who you're engaging with, who organically finds you, who you're being out there in front of, essentially, right? The
yep.
really cool thing about Instagram also is that their ad feature makes it look like it's just somebody that you're following in your feed. So you're scrolling through and all of a sudden you see again this like really sweet pair of shoes or whatever. Like, which one of my friends has these? Gotcha. That was Nike all along.
And they're so good at it.
Yeah.
Caitlin
yeah.
and I talk about both hashtag research and about their ad method all
right.
the time. And I tell her all the time that I fall for them because they know how to cater to the right people. Like,
gotcha.
I'm always interested in what they put on my timeline. It's
yeah, they
amazing.
Pick the right ads because they're watching your moves.
Yeah, you
what you're liking, engaging
so
with.
So mm-hmm. with that though, so for those of you that are out there listening right now saying, well, Dan, I don't have a product for sale. I'm in the service industry. Well, there's obviously still a lot for you to do there. Okay. So it may be hard to, consolidate your service in a single photograph, but there are ways that's when the emotional appeal gets drawn into it. Okay. So I used to have a running company and it was all about, transforming. We had like a lot of like the natural stuff, you know, like it's really again fringe wolf weird stuff, whatever it was. But the
with
idea
the wolf again,
very survivor style.
Back at it exactly, again, Daniel.
Exactly. But the idea was returning yourself to that, you know, that tribes person, that person that's out there able to, you know, run miles and miles and miles, gritty, you know, tough, wild kind of deal. That's what the emotional connection was for us to basically, you know, put down the tie in the suit and go pick up, you know, run through the field kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our photos resided in that. People of all, you know, body types out there covered in mud, covered in water, whatever it was that we were in. That's an emotional connection in a sense, you know. So you're not capturing the entire, you know, service, but you're putting out their quotes, whatever it is to exemplify that service, that emotional there. So it's highly emotional in that regard when you're in a service-based industry.
Okay, so was that your brand voice is like connecting with them on that sort of like rugged, like back to basics?
Absolutely.
Feel?
Essentially, it was basically creating the body to be all you needed instead of buying products to make you a better runner, so to speak.
Okay, interesting. So what has been your experience with selling online? Do you feel that it's more effective than selling offline?
I think for a lot of people these days, it's easier to digest and to communicate something clearly because when you're behind a keyboard or on your phone, whatever it is, you have time to think, edit, right? Mm-hmm. So your initial contact is probably the fifth or sixth thing that you would have already said to them if you were face to face, right? So through social media and again, digital selling, I feel like most people are comfortable with that because they have time to think about it, you know, and go for it from that way. I'm somebody that likes to really be face to face though, but I don't neglect or alienate a segment of, you know, how I sell. To me, social strategy, you know, digital strategy, that's part of the wave, the tidal wave you know, of me when I come and meet you kind of thing. You would have already probably had a contact for me. There'd have been some type of engagement on social media. We know of each other already, whether it be via LinkedIn or Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, something somehow, mm-hmm. we know of each other. And so by that time, that icebreaker, you know, has already happened. We're more on a familiar level at that point. So Right. Yes, I mean, for those big, big companies out there, it's harder to throw out all those, you know, those sales executives to go out and have all these meetings kind of deal. But if you're in one of those size companies where you can afford that, then I like to be face to face as much as I can. But of course, taking advantage of the digital world that's all around us.
Right. And social media isn't just about selling. And we see that all the time. It really isn't the place to sell. But in this case, since we're talking about social selling, there is room, I guess, on the web for you to use it to your advantage.
Right. It doesn't have to be a smack in the face.
Right.
Selling. Exactly. Yeah. It's a way to kind of really build the brand there. And for those of you that are out there saying, well, why waste time with something that if I'm not going to see an exact lead or, you know, something turn around 180 off of this post or whatever, you're still creating that brand presence, whether it be you, yourself, your company, whatever it is. We live in a digital world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are on social media, not because they have to be, because they want to be. Mm-hmm. And so that voice, it's a lot more able to be heard and welcomed when you're communicating via social media. So while it's maybe not a direct sell, it absolutely is going to build your book of business.
Right.
It is. But I just to ask you really quickly, because we were talking about this yesterday, because there's good ways to sell on social media and then there's really bad ways, because mm-hmm. we see a lot of the pyramid schemes these days.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like we're all very opinionated about that, because nobody likes to be sold to so aggressively right. every single day. And it's like, you know, they can say like, oh, this isn't a crazy thing, like it's really to your benefit, but it's like, we know you're just trying to get money out of it. So it's hard for you to respond to something, even if they're asking you something that's totally unrelated, like, oh, what's your favorite color? I don't want to tell you my favorite color because I know right. you're going to sell to me. So
that's why I think you really need to do your research and mm-hmm. figure out the language that your target audience responds to the best.
Yeah.
The type of language, like, don't
it has to
hard
be very,
sell.
Like, precise. Yeah.
Yeah. And don't and hard sell. People. Like, have a conversation with them. It's a community. So be social with them and don't hard sell. And then going back, Dan, I wanted to ask you, going back to your running business, did you acquire any customers from social media?
Absolutely. So
tell us how you did that.
There are basically just two channels of me acquiring clients. It was word of mouth and it was social media. Guerrilla marketing is, I think, the best on social media. So yes, I had a running company. We are about the body, not the product. One of the best campaigns that I ran was a video that I put together, titled Why Running is Bad for You. Mm-hmm. And it started out, I borrowed a clip, borrowed with quotes around it, a clip, from a pre-existing video that had this guy talking about the importance of, you know, insoles and all this stuff and how you have to have this to be a successful runner. And here, of course, I am rolling my eyes at him. I'm like, man, I'm going to use this to my advantage. So that's what it was initially. And then I did one of those cool cut twos. Looks like, you know, like the blank screen on the TV, the service announcement kind of thing, or like the emergency alert. And then it went to me like I had like hacked the broadcast, and it was talking about the revolution starting at the beginning of my season. And it was really dramatic, really fun, you know, but of course it was silly, but it was still really engaging. People saw that, you know, I just saw the numbers grow as far as the views that I had on it. And people talked about that. They referenced it. I mean, it was a conversation starter just around town. It was really, really fun. So I've used it. Absolutely. It wasn't, hey, you know, hey guys, you know, here's this running company. The season starts next week. You know, join for the low price of this. No.
There was no hard selling. You were having a conversation with them.
I simply gave them the information of when it was starting, kind of what to expect, and then call to action, check out the website, here it comes kind of thing. And people just happened that way. Because again, it was their decision. I just give them the information. That's what a good sale to me is, giving somebody the information, but not having the expectation that they're going to say, yes, I'll sign now kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You had to let them come to that term themselves.
Right. Yeah. And if you are just now tuning in, you can tweet us on Twitter with any questions regarding social selling. Our Twitter handle is @TrendTalkRadio.
Yeah. And Dan, so you utilized YouTube and what other social platforms to grow your business?
Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So I was all over the place.
Which one was your favorite?
I liked Instagram the best because, again, highly visual. You can tell that I'm somebody that's a highly visual person from what I'm talking about and the platforms I'm talking about. Facebook would be the connector with YouTube videos and, of course, Instagram posts, things like that, just because everybody is on Facebook. And of course, Twitter there as well. So, I mean, really kind of spinning that web is, I mean, why not? It's with things like Hootsuite and things like that, you can really put together a great campaign in just essentially the click of a button. So use it to your advantage.
And what do you think about fluff material? Do you think that you should have a little bit of fluff?
Listen, everybody enjoys sinking their teeth into cotton candy, but you're not going to have a cotton candy diet, right?
Right.
So having it out there to just provide some like color, some fluff. Exactly. Maybe a 4-to-1 ratio or a 3-to-1 ratio kind of thing where, you know, 2 out of 3 posts are still not in your face, black, white, hard sell kind of deal, but it's more call to action. Well, the other one could just be an interesting piece that gets somebody that would normally never have any interest in what you do or what you're selling. And then maybe now they'll stumble upon and you'll be on top of their mind because that article or whatever you posted was interesting to them.
That's I feel like some fluff content can be interesting to them and also help them to connect with your brand and see that you are a real person.
Precisely.
And you're not just trying to sell to them. Sometimes the fluff content too will actually get a lot of engagement because they notice that you're not selling to them.
Absolutely. If there's something that I think that's cool, funny, interesting, I'm going to share it and, you know, retweet it, whatever it is. And people that are in my, you know, network, they'll see that. And then all of a sudden that thing gets passed on along, you know, to everybody that I know. Now, maybe I'm not into it, but the person that I shared it to or looked at it with, mm-hmm. they'll be the one that engages that company now.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it can turn into viral.
Oh, yeah. Not content. Even that. But even if it doesn't benefit you right in the moment because you're not selling to them, it still will.
Later down the road.
Yeah. Like your next post of the same kind is going to bump up because that one got so much engagement.
Exactly.
So it's like you can really use that to your advantage and sell to them in a subtle way or however it is that you want, like striking the next time around. So.
Right. And as we're talking about social selling, I know that Dan didn't touch on Pinterest, but I do think that Pinterest is a very valuable social network too to sell on. Obviously, that would be, I feel like it would be more for if you had a product because Pinterest now has buyable pins and stuff like that. But also, even if we're talking about Dan's running business, if he were to put some tips on there on how to run or what, or maybe even do like a little schedule of starting, getting into the fitness, running, training thing and give a link that goes to your website. Pinterest is a great way to show your product or service.
I like it.
Yes. So yeah. I think we've touched a little bit on social selling. I did want to touch base on Instagram and their algorithm change. A lot of people last week were freaking out about the algorithm and that you need to turn on notifications to follow my posts, you're never going to see them anymore. But really, guys, that's not the case. You know, the algorithm is going to change up a little bit, but as long as people are engaging with your content, as long as you're sharing relevant, useful stuff that they're commenting on, liking, then Instagram is still going to show your stuff. What do you think about that, Annette?
Listen, I do have an opinion on that because I'm not very fond of them pushing content up there that... Okay, I was having a discussion with one of my friends about this. I go on Instagram because I'm able to see things in a chronological order of how they happen. And so sometimes, like if I log out of the app, I want to start off looking at things where I left off. And I'm not able to do that if they change the algorithm. I don't want to log back in and see the same post over and over because that's the same thing that happens with Facebook now. It's like you have to press refresh for it to show you new content. And I don't like that. I don't like being shown the same 5 people all the time just because I didn't necessarily interact with a lot of the posts of one of my other friends. Like I still want to see their content. I just didn't happen to like some of their posts. So what, now I can't see them? Like
right.
That I'm not going to look individually at every single person.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I think it's a good idea because then I'm only probably going to get served stuff that I interact with. What do you think about the algorithm change, Dan? Are you still on Instagram?
I've kind of stepped away from it. No particular reason. The biggest thing that I've seen though, that it's caught my interest is now that they're having these 60-second video clips mm-hmm. with the opposed to the 15-second. I think that allows a lot of more opportunity.
Oh yeah.
To generate some interest there and to get the point across there too. So not exactly what you're talking about, but that's what I can offer to the conversation.
True. That's good, especially if you're not utilizing that network for you to even know that. That's awesome, but. Yeah, I think that as long as you're posting relevant information on there and good stuff, you don't have anything to worry about. Stop harassing your followers to turn on their notifications because I'm not going to turn on my notifications so that I'm notified every time you post a picture. I'm sorry.
So, I didn't even see the notification bar.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Last week, that's my entire news feed was turn on your notifications with the arrow pointing to the wrong way anyways because yes. There was an update.
I saw that.
Yeah, it was really just silly. But we are running out of time. But Dan, we appreciate you so much for tuning in
Ladies,
with us today
thank you
and
very
talking
much for
with
having
us.
Me.
Yes, we're definitely going to have you back. If you want to visit us at www.trendtalkradio.com, you can find all of our episodes on there, previous episodes. And we will eventually start a blog on there too, I think, with some infographics and just some helpful stuff that we talk about here in the studio. But Annette?
Yeah, so make sure you follow us on Twitter, Trend Talk Radio, as well as visiting our website at www.trendtalkradio.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. And we'll speak to you next time.
See you later. Stay social.